Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
This is one hell of a team. A team full of dogs. At some point, it's going to be the offense helping us out, you know? So it is what it is. We still got to win. Back to the drawing board Tuesday.
It was awesome. It was great, you know, defense for what they did today. To be able to come back out in the second half and shut them out is unbelievable. We got a great team, great brotherhood building here, and we're going to keep going.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into another edition of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening, and joining me once again is Herb Howard. From the bigs, Herb covers the Bears, does it well. And Herb, we're talking about a victory, and it was a sort of Bears game I think we've all seen about a million times in our lives. The offense struggles, and the defense and special teams comes up big. Caleb Williams, not the best day, but a win is a win, and they'll take it. I think the mood would be a whole lot different if they didn't pull that one out. But what were some of your takeaways from that game, and what did you think of Caleb's performance?
Yeah, KP, it felt very familiar. It felt like a game, like you said, we've seen a million times around here before.
Yeah.
But anytime you're able to get a win, you want to apologize for it, number one. But also, there's a lot of things they clearly need to clean up. But it's much better when you're able to have these things that you can clean up, but you also walk away with the victory. And so, obviously, some of the things that stood out was the O-line play, particularly the interior of the offensive line, is completely being dominated. Early penetration right up the A-gap frequently throughout the game. And, you know, they were playing against two really, really good players in terms of those D tackles with Sweat and Simmons. Those are two really good football players. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of good football players in the National Football League, and you got to be just as good, right? You got to be able to hold up and compete against those guys. And that just wasn't the case yesterday. They didn't really give Caleb much of a chance. You're talking about any quarterback struggling to have pressure come right up the middle into his face. And then especially a rookie quarterback playing his first NFL regular season game just wasn't a good formula for success.
No, and, you know, I had concerns about the offensive line going into the season. I still have those concerns, Herb. We'll see how it shakes out, Nate. You know, it's the whole Nate Davis, Ryan Bates, Coleman, Shelton dynamic. We'll see how that plays out. But Davis didn't even get the bulk of the snaps at right guard, so... I remember Ryan Poles talked to us just a week or two ago, kind of his preseason meeting with reporters, and he was asked about the offensive line, and he said it's the best depth he's had. And I was a little surprised by that. I mean, I guess that could be true. It still doesn't mean you feel overly comfortable about it. But it's been a concern. I still do not feel great about the offensive line moving forward. Now, a win is a win, and I guess the optimistic way of thinking would be that, okay, Ryan Poles has built a well-rounded roster. It has some flaws, but this was kind of like the plan in a way. I mean, obviously not Caleb struggling, but the defense totally picked up the offense. And we talked about that going into the season. A lot of the defensive players said, you know, we can help the offense in a way. And that was the case, right? So, like, all of that talk about Caleb going into a good situation, it was more than just, oh, all the receivers he has around him and the running backs and all of that. He's just entering a better situation than most players do, and the defense totally bailed them out. So I guess in a way, like, okay, like that's the one clunker, Caleb, and we know there's going to be ups and downs, but it's a pretty good roster, and the defense bailed out the offense. They'll take it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a complete roster. They've got a really good defense. They can beat you in the kicking game as well. And so that's as good a situation you can expect to come into as the number one pick. You're usually coming into one of, if not the worst, rosters in the National Football League. That's not the case here for Caleb. And so it's a good situation for him in terms that he doesn't have to be the guy to win the game for them, right? They can just play kind of ball control. The only good thing that they did do offensively yesterday was not turn the ball over, right? So if you're going to be the defense, say, okay, you guys aren't going to help us out. I get that. But at least don't hurt us. Don't put us in short field situations. I know they did have that with the muff kick return and kick by Velas that put the defense kind of up against the wall. But they were able to hold strong there and hold them to a field goal. But the offense did not turn the ball over. And so, listen, if you're not going to go out there and continually put points on the board or have time in possession, at least don't put us in short field bad situations. And they didn't do that. So that's one positive you can take from it as well. But it's a team that's going to have to lean on their defense, lean on their special teams until this offense is able to come together. I know they got a lot of weapons and talent, but number one, you can't get the ball to your weapons if the offensive line doesn't hold up. Mm-hmm. And number two, it takes time, even with all those talented players around you. It's a new offensive system with a new offensive coordinator. You got new players in key positions, and you're being led by a rookie quarterback. And so that's just going to take some time. Anybody who had, you know, any ideas that this team was going to hit the ground running offensively, coming out scoring 30 and 40 points on people, that just wasn't going to happen. That's not the reality. I know we build Caleb Williams up as the next Patrick Mahomes and everything else, and that's wonderful. And maybe he'll hit those potential at some point. But he wasn't going to start off that way.
What did you make of the lack of snaps for Cole Kmet? I was surprised by that.
Head scratching. It was definitely head scratching. Cole Kmet is a tight end that can do anything you need him to do, right? He can run routes and catch the ball. He can run block. He can pass block. He can help. He can do all the things that you need your tight end to do. And so I have a hard time reconciling the fact that you have so many packages where you don't think he's useful to you. Right? I think he had 27 snaps. I think Jerry Everett had 34 snaps. And so, like, I just don't understand that dynamic. Cole Kmet has proven to be one of the better tight ends in the National Football League. You probably want to get him on the field for more than 27 snaps.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on there. Multiple times in the press box, we were all like, where's Cole Kmet? Is Cole Kmet hurt? What's going on? Yeah. And especially considering Shane Waldron is known for utilizing tight ends. And everything you just said about Cole Kmet and being able to help in a lot of different ways. And for a young quarterback, right, a big target like Cole Kmet, who it appeared they had built a pretty strong relationship leading up to the season. When we hear from Shane Waldron later this week, I'm sure that will be talked about. Reports that Rome Odunze, MCL sprain in his knee.
Yeah.
Week to week, though, I guess good news in a way. Like, this is not a season ender. I'm sure he's going to miss at least a couple weeks here, but kind of a scare there for a little bit, right?
Yes. The news was better than the worst possible news, but still not ideal. You mean he's going, like, you're talking about getting an MRI and having an MCL sprain. That's not ideal for this kid, right? And I don't really foresee him playing on Sunday. Now, the fact they don't put him on IR means they certainly don't think he'll miss 4 weeks. But to sprain his MCL and then go back out there a week later, I don't know that that's going to happen. And so you start to get into the depth at the wide receiver position, and they don't have a ton of it, right? They were so top-heavy at the wide receiver position. The thought was, we don't need a whole lot of them, right? Our top three are really, really good. We feel good about Tyler Scott and his ability to play all three positions across the board, and that's about the end of the depth. I know that DeAndre Carter played a lot of snaps for them, and Tyler Scott wasn't dressed on Sunday, but I think those are still your top four receivers. I know Colin Johnson had a big game in the preseason, and maybe he can come in and add a different dimension to this wide receiver group. But it's not a whole lot of depth. But I think that was more indicative of the talent that they have at the top end. And I was saying that at some point this summer, just about the wide receiver position, how they've completely flipped that around, right? A couple years ago, KP, we're in there, and this, you know, 14 guys coming to camp, and you can't even figure out who the number two guy would be. And they say, oh, we got a lot of depth there. Like, no, you don't have a lot of depth, but you don't have this top-end talent, so you can't identify who the starters are. And I think that's kind of similar to what's going on at the offensive line position, right? When Ryan Poehler is talking about, oh, we've got more depth than we've ever had, to me what that says is we don't know who our top-end guys are at center, at right guard. And so we say, oh, we got a lot of depth. We got a lot of guys who can do it. Well, if you're telling me you got four and five guys who could be your center and your right guard, to me that tells me you don't know who your center and right guard is. And so I think that's more the situation there. The depth of wide receiver is going to be challenged. And certainly you talked about, you know, Keenan Allen, he's still dealing with his heel. So we got to figure out, you know, how that's going to all play out.
Yeah, and offensive line, that's supposed to be Ryan Pohl's specialty. He's an offensive lineman, and I'm not saying this unit isn't going to work out, but it might have to be addressed at some point. I thought DeAndre Carter had a nice game returning kicks. Velus Jones Jr. cannot be trusted. Yeah. I like Velus. I think he's got a great attitude. He's fun to talk to. He cannot be trusted anymore. They already took away punt returns. You can't send him back there for kick returns, especially when Carter looked pretty good doing it anyway. They have high hopes for Velus Jones Jr., right? Like, he's still made in the roster, and they're trying to find ways to get him involved, but the man cannot be trusted anymore returning kicks or punts. That is over. That experiment is done.
Yeah, that was tough to see, man. That is not only did he muff it, then kicked it like 20 yards away. It's just such a freak thing to happen. If it were to happen to him, it's like, oh, that's the last thing you needed to go wrong, and it went wrong in a big way and cost the team some points. And so I don't know, you know, where his role lies now. Maybe they still want to get him in the backfield and give him some touches sometimes. I've been a big supporter of Velus Jones throughout this process, because you talk about a guy that's 6 feet and 215 with 4.3 speed. You think you can find a way to use that on your football team, but it continues to put the ball in jeopardy, and it's just it becomes hard to defend at some point. I've been rooting for him. I'll probably continue to root for him, but I don't know where his role is at this point.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out through the rest of the season. The guy I thought maybe had the best day of anyone, Daryl Taylor, who this move was kind of under the radar, maybe not so much for Bears fans, but Ryan Poles sent the 6th-round pick for this guy. He had 2 picks, a strip sack fumble that helped kind of seal the game off, but he had a really nice game. And Daryl Taylor, everything you heard out of Seattle, I mean, he had 21 sacks over 3 seasons and just kind of fell out of the rotation because they have so many edge guys with the Seahawks. This might be a really good find by Ryan Poles opposite of Montez Sweat. I mean, 2 sacks. He might be a double-digit sack guy this season. I like the move when Poles made it. It's one game, but it's already looking pretty good.
Yeah, he had the best debut of any Bears player number 52 that I've ever seen, right? and so I think it was a good move, right? Obviously, they knew they needed some help with the pass rush, and this is a guy who brings that dynamic to their defense. He's got a good motor. He plays through the echo of the whistle. He's constantly running towards the football. He gets the chase down sacks, all those types of things. And then obviously he gets the big strip sack that kind of shifts the game for them. I think that they should have enough in terms of the rotation to continue to put consistent pressure. They also dial up timely blitzes, and they bring Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards, and those guys usually get home when they are sent. And so I thought Daryl Taylor was a really good addition. I didn't know much about him until they made the trade, and I did my homework. I was like, oh, this seems like the type of guy that is going to fit here. And then he comes out and has a well of a game in his debut. So that looks like it's going to be a good move. He's got 2 sacks already, 16 more games to go. He has a good chance to get to double-digit sacks if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the first half was just – it was atrocious, Herb. It was painful to watch in all different, you know, aspects of that game. But I thought the one unit that really came on in the second half was the defensive line. They were generating pressure on Levis. Mm-hmm. And I know he's not a guy who's going to get a ton of attention, but Andrew Billings, watching him closely on a few snaps, dude, he was eating up double teams. And they like him. They're big on him as a nose tackle, as your one technique. I thought he had a really nice game. Again, those types of players might not get as much love as the edge rushers and other positions, but I was following him for a few plays, and he was a mauler up front in the second half.
He is a really, really good player. One of my favorite players on their defense, and I asked actually Coleman Shelton about Billings last week in the locker room. I was asking, you know, Coleman about his opinion on him, because he's obviously going up against him every day in practice, and he said, man, he's probably the most underrated player in the National Football League, one of the better nose tackles that's in the game. And so I asked Billings about that, about, you know, him being underrated and how he feels about that. And he said, it doesn't really matter to me. He said, my teammates know what I bring to the table. My coaches know what I bring to the table. And the franchise obviously appreciates me showing them that by extending this contract. And so I think he's a really, really good player. He certainly had a good game yesterday. He's just stout in the middle of that defense, KP. You can't move that dude, right? He's just so big. He's shorter, so he's already kind of got the leverage to get under your pads. But he's also got a little bit more athleticism than you think he would have. And so he had a really, really good game. I think he's going to continue to have a good game. I was also impressed by Javon Dexter. I think he had a really good game as well. He's been a player that everybody's been talking about this entire offseason in terms of needing him to take that next step and become a difference maker at that 3-technique position. And I think he did that pretty well yesterday. He had himself a sack as well. He had some CFLs. He was getting disruptions in the backfield. Should have had 2 sacks on Daryl Taylor's first sack. Javon Dexter had actually brushed through the line and had Levis almost wrapped up, and he kind of stepped out of his arm, and then Daryl Taylor chased him down from the backside. But Javon Dexter also had a really good game. That was a really, really good sign. As good as any sign I saw for this team going forward was the fact that Jahvon Dexter had a pretty good game yesterday.
Yeah, that was good to see. And up next, primetime matchup, C.J. Stroud, Houston Texans. The offense is going to have to be better if they want to win this game. You know, I mean, the whole defense special teams thing, which we've seen here in Chicago forever, is not sustainable. Right, you can't rely on a block punt return for a touchdown. You can't rely on a quarterback making a mistake and lobbing a ball into your defensive back's hands. And again, it's a rookie quarterback, new offense, and all of that. But it has to be the hope is that's kind of the bottom, right? Like that's as bad as it's going to get. But Caleb and the offense has to produce more points Sunday night if they want a chance to upset Stroud. Bears are going into this thing 6-point underdog.
Yeah, that formula will not work on Sunday night down in Houston. The offense is going to have to do something to kind of pull their weight. I mean, you look at how the game started on Sunday against the Titans. They get the ball at the 43-yard line on their first drive. On their second drive, they get it at the plus 48. 0 points from either of those drives. I mean, you got defense and special teams giving you great field position. You guys are dominating in terms of having the field position game, and you still can't get points on the board. You got to be able to take advantage of that. That is the formula for, you talk about the defense and the kicking game kind of carrying the team until the offense finds its footing, but you still have to do something. You still have to do your part. If we get you the ball back at midfield, you got to turn that into at least 3 points, right? You got to at least get 3 points there. And so they're going to have to take advantage of those opportunities. And it's a game of inches, and you're only going to get a few shots in a game, right, in terms of making those big plays. And the Bears just didn't hit them. Caleb Williams was unable to connect with some of his receivers downfield. The early one to Keenan Allen was another one that was a little bit more difficult to DeAndre Carter. And then there was another time where he missed Keenan Allen kind of running that corner to the end zone. He just overthrew him. So when you're only going to get three or four of those opportunities in a game to make those big plays deep down the field. When they present themselves, you got to take advantage of it. That could be the difference between winning and losing, especially when you're on the road against a good team who has legitimate Super Bowl aspirations in the Houston Texans. It can't be two out of your three phases. The third phase, in this case, the offense, is going to have to pull its weight.
Yeah, and Caleb overthrowing Keenan. I know that one stung for just about everybody. I'm sure Caleb's going to be thinking about that one all week, which it looked like a touchdown, and Caleb just overthrew it by a few yards. And then, you know, Allen dropped one too, and that's supposed to be your – it was a well-placed ball by Caleb near the goal line, and Allen wasn't able to hang on. So, and, you know, I think that big sack, what was it, a 19-yard loss and then on the second drive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of your welcome to the NFL moment. That's a teaching moment for Caleb, right? Like, you're not going to outrun these dudes. It didn't help that the interior of the offensive line got completely blown up. But you look at a play like that, and, you know, Caleb has to take something from that, right? He understands the speed now. He understands what a real NFL pass rush is like. You can't be taking 19-yard sacks.
No, that was a lot of talk all offseason. Like, will he understand that this is not the college game anymore? You're not at USC. You're not going to be out here making all these wild plays every single snap. You got to know kind of just when to cut your losses and go down, take the sack, whatever it's going to be. You tried to spin out of it once, spin out of it twice. Next thing you know, you've lost 19 yards. Now, it wasn't his fault that the penetration was there. There was no chance for him to be successful on that play, but he has to then recognize there is no chance for me to be successful on this play. Just go ahead and take the loss as it is for the, you know, 4 or 5 yard sack and not turn it into a 19-yard situation. So certainly a learning curve for him. He's going to realize that at this level, those guys are just a little faster and more athletic, and you aren't going to be able to get away from them that many times, not in that type of situation. And so hopefully he learns from that. But more importantly, the interior of the offensive line can't allow that kind of penetration that early in the snap.
That's Herb Howard, covers the Bears for the Bigs at Herb Howard 411. Looks like a new profile picture from the game Sunday, Herb. Looking good as always.
Got to give a shout out to my guy Eric Knowles from GQ Gentleman in Chicago. He puts me together for the game day and had me looking good. And I was feeling myself. I'm not going to lie, KP. I was feeling myself, so I changed my profile pic.
Hey, you were Kenny McReynolds with the two best dressed in the press box, I think, Sunday. I got to step.
He was showing off his West Side. He looked like a West Side dude with that yesterday. I'm gonna just leave it at that.
I got to step up my game, Herb. Follow Herb on Twitter at HerbHoward411. Covers the Bears. I will see you at Hallis Hall this week, and then we've got a prime time matchup: C.J. Stroud and the Texans hosting Caleb and the Bears Sunday night. Herb, appreciate you jumping on once again.
Always a pleasure, KP. Thanks for having me.
And thanks again to Herb Howard for joining me. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. And thank you for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.